Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Trump indicted, the first ever criminal indictment of a former president of the United States.
It's the first time in his life that the guy is actually being held accountable for his own dirty deeds.
Did you think this day would ever come for this man?
Karma's a bitch.
We don't know what's in the sealed indictment, but we do know is that the Republican Party has decided that it is not going to take an off-ramp once again.
Give the president some money to fight this bull.
In Washington, Trump's buddies in the House are still demanding that D.A. Bragg essentially hand all of his evidence over to them.
Shut your mouth up because you have no jurisdiction here.
It will require them to be pro-hush money payments to porn stars, pro-insurrection, pro-classified documents sitting around at Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, they're after me for so many things. Oh, those prosecutors.
This is a genuine test of how mature we are as a democracy that believes in liberty under law. And I don't know how we're going to do.
Good evening once again. I'm Stephanie Brule, back at MSNBC headquarters in New York City, Donald Trump's true hometown. This weekend, the former president will likely be preparing for his first court appearance as a criminal defendant. NBC News has learned he is facing about 30 separate counts related to document fraud connected to hush money he allegedly paid to cover up extramarital affairs. And today we saw the first court filing in that case. Quote, the people of the state of New York against Donald J. Trump. Never thought you'd see it? There it is in writing. That document allowed District Attorney Alvin Bragg to go public with the indictment. Early next week, Trump is expected to appear before a judge in New York to learn exactly what those charges are. Currently, they're still under seal. NBC's Jonathan Dienst has been working around the clock reporting on all of it. Watch this.
Several officials telling us tonight that former President Trump is expected to arrive here in New York Monday night. Tuesday around 1 p.m., he will go to the courthouse. The former president will likely not be handcuffed, not placed in any holding cell. He will be fingerprinted, but as of now, there is no photograph machine in place there, so it is possible there will be no Trump mugshot. The court plans to adjourn many cases that afternoon to greatly reduce the crowds of people normally inside.
Ahead of that court appearance, one of Trump's lawyers is laying the groundwork for the legal battle against these charges.
He decided we have to fight now, and he got into a, you know, a typical Donald Trump posture where he's ready to be combative on something that he believes is an injustice. This was a personal resolution for a personal matter that would have been made irrespective of the campaign. So with those facts together, there is no crime. President Trump will not take a plea deal in this case. It's not going to happen.
How does he know that? He doesn't even know what the charges are. Michael Cohen's lawyer, he has been speaking, Lonnie Davis. Last night, he told me that the DA's case against Trump is a lot stronger than many people think.
There's a lot of verification of documents. Documents speak for themselves. Other witnesses corroborate. What people are missing, which I know, which you don't yet know.
But so tell me.
There is so much corroboration of the fact that Donald Trump was motivated by politics to thwart Stormy Daniels telling her story. Alvin Bragg is not bringing this case without huge amounts of corroboration. And everybody who's speculating about it, it's a weak case, it's a bad case, it shouldn't have gone first. It's just
it hasn't even been unsealed yet.
Exactly.
Still not unsealed. With that, let's get smarter. With the help of our lead off panel, it is a spectacular one. Suzanne Craig is here in studio, in the flesh, Pulitzer Prize winning investigative reporter for The New York Times. And you're getting a double Pulitzer. Phil Rucker is here. Also Pulitzer Prize winning deputy national editor of The Washington Post, my dear friend Barbara McQuaid, veteran federal prosecutor and former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan, and Renato Mariotti is here, a former federal prosecutor and legal affairs columnist for Politico. Renato, you have been a defense attorney. Take us inside what is happening at Mar-a-Lago with Trump and his legal team this weekend, because they shut the place down for public events.
I think there's a lot of panic. One thing that people don't realize is the impact that an indictment has on someone. I understand Donald Trump is not the typical person, but an indictment is a very weighty thing. I think there is a lot of anger and a lot of bitterness there that some of it we're seeing, but I think a lot of the bluster is just that. Behind the scenes, there is a concern and a franticness. And they're also, I think, trying to figure out a road ahead. And it's not going to be an easy one, because they not only have to navigate this case, but as you know, Stephanie, Alvin Bragg's not the only prosecutor in town, and there are others potentially on the horizon. So I think it will be a challenge for the Trump legal team, and they're probably trying to plot out not only this case, but how it's going to fit into their overall defense strategy, which will be a challenge to navigate.
Renato, is it strange that they don't know what the charges are, right? We know from his lawyer, he's coming back to New York Monday night. He's going to show up on Tuesday afternoon. They're going to fingerprint him. But fingerprint him for what? To me, I would think I'd know what I was rolling in for.
It's not unusual in New York. It is unusual elsewhere. And in the federal system where Barb and I practice, the defense attorney will get emailed often a copy of the indictment the day that the indictment is returned, but not in New York, in fact, by operation of law. So he will find that out. But look, I don't think it's a significant mystery to them. But of course, it is a mystery to many of us, which I'm glad that you mentioned, Stephanie, in your run up there, how this indictment is still under seal, because all these people rushing to judgment on something we haven't even read, I think they're going to ultimately not look good in doing that. I think the smart people are the ones who are taking a measured approach.
But Barb, we are already scratching our heads, or at least I am. The number of counts, 30 in this indictment, right? The average person is thinking, oh, this is about hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. We wouldn't necessarily think that would amount to 30. So could you put that into perspective for us?
Yeah, it's interesting, Stephanie. I think there could be one of two possibilities. One is that each of the checks, you know, there's been reporting that Donald Trump wrote 11 checks to reimburse Michael Cohen. So each of the checks themselves could be a count of falsifying a business record. If they were then recorded in some bookkeeping entry as legal fees, when in fact they were something else, they could count there as well. And then if they were if a failure to report them as campaign contributions, you could count them there as well. So you'd have 3 times 11 for 33, plus perhaps one overall conspiracy count to get you to 34. That's one possibility. I also think it is possible, Stephanie, that we may be seeing more than just the hush money case. It could be that there are criminal charges along the lines of the kinds of allegations that we've seen in the civil complaint that was brought by Letitia James, the New York Attorney General, about undervaluing or overvaluing assets, depending on Trump's interest in that scenario. You know, he might undervalue them for the purpose of paying taxes, overvalue them for the purpose of obtaining loans. So I think it remain to be seen what exactly those counts are. But if there are 30 of them, it suggests to me that they've got strong evidence and they want to use all of it.
Could this be the kind of case in which prosecutors are trying to file RICO racketeering charges, building these up in an organized fashion? Barb?
It is possible, Stephanie. You know, RICO is used when there is a pattern of racketeering activity. Racketeering is a general term that encompasses a lot of different kinds of crimes that get used in organized crime, like extortion and bribery and threats and other kinds of things. So it allows a prosecutor to bring together in one case under one umbrella a lot of disparate crimes. I guess it's possible. I think in light of what we know, it seems unlikely. But of course, that's why grand juries operate in secret, so that prosecutors can do their work outside of public scrutiny and then spring those charges when they're ready. So it all remains a possibility.
Suzanne, New York might be Donald Trump's hometown. This is where he has the worst track record, the worst reputation. He is not liked in New York City. No. Is this the worst possible place for him to have to face this?
Yeah, what a town. I always say if Donald Trump isn't suing you, he owes you money. So this is where he's coming home to now go to trial and go to a criminal trial. I mean, it's really something. This all, it was interesting. I covered the trial against the Trump Organization. And at the outset, everybody's saying there's no way they can find impartial jurors. There's no way they can do it. And I was curious, so I went down to sit through some of the jury selection. It wasn't a big crowd, but I went in. And I was skeptical at first. And, you know, they had a 32, 33 questions that they asked the jurors. And the jurors had to stand up in court. And they started out, I brought some of them, you know, and they start out, you know, just things like, where do you live? Who's your current employer? Anybody who's gone through jury selection will know this. And then they get a bit more heat. They, you know, they ask you what newspapers you read or what news you follow. And then can you promise to guard against allowing any stereotypes about individuals or groups of people, you know, referred to as implicit bias, you know, to not influence your decision. And then they get to the big question that they were all asked. Do you have any strong opinions or firmly held beliefs about former President Donald J. Trump, positive or negative, that would interfere with your ability to be a fair and impartial juror? And they kept going just deeper and deeper into the feelings about Donald Trump. And I can tell you, every juror had a very strong feeling. Most were very negative. But they managed to go through it. And at the end of it, it was, can you still, even though you feel that way, and they kept reminding them, Donald Trump is not on trial, it's his company. But can you put those aside and hear the facts and come out at the other end? They came out, you know, with a jury. And one of the concerns is, you know, they're going to have jurors who want to get on there and they're not going to tell the truth, but they managed to get through it. And I think impaneled, I think a jury that was fair. I read some of the exit interviews that were done. These people waded through the evidence. They seemed to have a good hold of it. But that's like, it's a hard town. And everybody in this country has an opinion on Donald Trump. It's not just in New York.
The judge that he's also going to face here is the same one that presided over Alan Weisselberg and the Trump Organization. So do you think Trump will try to get rid of that judge?
I'm sure he's going to do everything he can. I think we've seen this playbook many times.
Running the clock.
Over the last 70 almost years, you know, since he's been pretty young and been involved in his father's empire, he's been doing this. So I don't think we're going to see a break in character here.
Someone who knows his character well is you, Phil Rucker. You wrote the book, A Very Stable Genius, the book all about the inner workings of Donald Trump's minds. So take us to Mar-a-Lago right now. Apparently, he has raised $4 million in the last 24 hours while he's preparing for this indictment. Who in the world is he raising that money from? And what do you think's going on down there? Were they really caught off guard? Are they scrambling now?
You know, Stephanie, they've been preparing for this indictment. They were surprised, certainly, that it happened on Thursday, but they had been preparing for this. In fact, Trump predicted it in his social media statement a week prior. But what he and his advisors are trying to do, remember, he's an active presidential candidate right now for 2024. They're trying to weaponize all of this to lock up the Republican field, to solicit money, which they've done, $4 million in the last 24 hours, according to the campaign's announcement tonight. And we can expect that to continue through the weekend in the run-up to what I think is going to be a pretty big show. He's bringing the circus to New York on Tuesday. He's planning to fly in Monday, spend the night at Trump Tower, and then surrender to law enforcement early Tuesday afternoon. And if it's anything like what we've seen Trump do in the past in other instances, I think he's going to try to make this a sort of must-see TV type of spectacle of an event. He's going to make it all political by attacking the district attorney, the judge, the process, the charges, etc., all in an effort to sort of galvanize his supporters and solidify his standing within the Republican Party as he seeks the presidential nomination again.
Creating a spectacle. You know, it's funny, Renato, all day today, my phone, I was getting messages from, you know, former Trump officials, Trump allies saying these charges are an embarrassment to this country. Yet none of them made a single comment about Donald Trump's conduct, even in the last 24 hours, railing against DA Alvin Bragg, going after his wife, going after the judge. Do you think the judge is going to put forward a gag order to stop this?
It's an interesting point, Stephanie. I think gag orders are rarely imposed. Judges are careful because obviously everyone involved has First Amendment rights, including a presidential candidate. But I do think that, you know, Trump is over time going to get himself closer and closer down that road. We did see that in the Roger Stone case when he crossed the line and posted some social media messages that were threatening of the judge. I think if he keeps it up here, he could eventually get there. I'm not sure that's what he wants. I think he probably wants to go up to a line. I will say it's very dangerous, Stephanie. It makes me very concerned about the future in this country because we need our judiciary and we need our criminal justice system to hold corrupt politicians accountable. I live in the Chicago area in the state of Illinois. We have a big corruption trial now. Many of our governors have been in prison.
We desperately
need federal prosecutors and state prosecutors to keep our politicians clean.
Barb, we heard Bill Barr, of all people, Trump's former attorney general, weigh in on the case. Watch this.
It's the archetypal abuse of the prosecutorial function to engage in a political hit job, and it's a disgrace. And legally, I think from what I understand, it's a pathetically weak case.
Can you just help our audience understand? Bill Barr, while he has a long resume, he's saying, from what I understand, it's an incredibly weak case. From what he understands, Bill Barr wouldn't have access to any information that we don't, would he? How does he know?
No. No, not at all. He has not seen a bit of the evidence, just like the rest of us. And so to say it's incredibly weak is to misstate the facts. This reminds me an awful lot of what he did when Robert Mueller first rolled out his report. And he spun it as a complete exoneration of Donald Trump. He talked about how there was no evidence of conspiracy. There was no collusion. After all of this investigation, you know, there was a bunch of nothing. Even a federal judge in that case accused William Barr of distorting the record in that case. And I think he's doing the same thing again. Now, someone who has his credibility can convince people. So if people watch that, people of good faith saw, wow, that guy's a former attorney general of the United States. He must know what he's talking about. And if he says there's nothing to the case, then there must be nothing to the case. And yet he hasn't even seen it. It isn't unsealed yet. And so it's really quite a bit of hubris to be able to issue that kind of an opinion on a case that he hasn't even seen yet.
Suzanne, you have known and covered Donald Trump for years and years. What do you think this is like for him? He's weathered a lot of storms. There's been many times when, oh my God, this is going to take him down. This is going to take him down. And he's going to keep standing.
Well, and even if we go back to, you know, just thinking about even, you know, he's been tagged for, you know, stock trading stuff back in the 80s. I mean, but everything that he has faced, every consequence that he has faced in terms of his behavior and stepping over the line has been civil. This is criminal. I mean, this is really serious. And I think it's got to be sobering. I can't imagine that it wouldn't be. I mean, I think he's withdrawn a little bit right now. I think that it's sinking in. I think the next phase will probably be some outburst, but I don't think it can be anything but, you know, an incredibly sobering moment for him right now.
You covered Alan Weisselberg's trial. He's standing with the Trumps. He is a 70-something-year-old man sitting in Rikers Island after not flipping on Donald Trump.
Right.
Do you think that there's any chance he's going to change course?
I think there's always a chance, and I think 5 months in Rikers Island increases that. And Alan Weisselberg has additional pressure on him. He is facing a potential criminal charges for insurance fraud. And that is not 5 months at Rikers Island. That's going to be theft over $1 million. It's going to be huge if it happens. It could be several years. So they're trying to pressure him in terms of that issue to not only potentially cooperate in the hush money payment. He didn't appear before the grand jury. We may see him come ahead at trial if it goes that far, which I imagine it would. But he's still facing a lot of pressure. And the Trump organization itself could still be hit with criminal charges on the valuation issue. That was a case that was moving forward under Cy Vance. And then now the hush money payment has sort of come ahead. But I wouldn't say that they've hit the eject button on that right now. I think they're waiting. They're waiting to see what Alan Weisselberg does and maybe what 5 months at Rikers does. And we're also then looking forward to October, where we have a trial coming up, the civil trial on the issue of valuations. That's where, you know, they inflate assets when they mm-hmm. want to get a loan, and when they're going to the tax man, they're not really worth a lot.
And he did that on every possible property you could even think of.
Back decades.
My goodness. Phil, Donald Trump says these indictments will not push him out of the 2024 race. But former Arkansas governor, Republican governor Asa Hutchinson said Trump should drop out. Does it seem like that there are more and more Republicans quietly saying, OK, dude, it's over, even if they're not saying it publicly?
Well, other than Hutchinson, almost no Republican is saying that publicly, and certainly in private, they wish Trump would turn a page, would not run, would allow for a new generation that doesn't have this kind of baggage to lead the party in 2024. And yet, this is where the voters in the Republican Party, at least as of today, are. The polls consistently show Trump with a really sizable advantage in this race, and you know, even as we see so many donors and big forces within the party start to mobilize behind Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, there still is an acknowledgement within the Republican Party firmament that it's Trump's party for now, and that somebody like DeSantis is really going to have to take him out. He's not going to step aside willingly, Trump, that is.
But then I go back, who's writing him that check in the last 24 hours that totals up to $4 million?
You know, I don't know how many donors they are, but I'm betting that it's a huge number of very small dollar donors. And in fact, the Trump campaign said 25% of those donations came from first time contributors to his 2024 campaign.
I know we're out of time, but I have one quick last question. Marjorie Taylor Greene said she's coming up on Tuesday. She's encouraging protests. She's going to be at the courthouse. She's a member of Congress. She has a day job to do. Who pays for that, Phil? Is this, does she view this as part of her duty representing the state of Georgia? Taxpayers pay for this?
I don't know how she intends to pay for that Amtrak ticket to get up to New York. She very well may be paying for it out of her campaign or political action committee. But you're right, it is her day job. She's supposed to be on recess. Congress is at home doing district work, and New York is obviously not her district. Her district is in Georgia.
Well, the good people of Georgia deserve to know, are they paying for this New York visit? Suzanne Craig, great to see you in person. Phil Rucker, Barb McQuaid, Renato Mariotti, I know you will all be back here next week. When we come back, a consequential moment. Congressman Richie Torres is here on the unknown road ahead and what Trump's indictment means for our democracy. And later, we just mentioned it, Marjorie Taylor Greene calling for protests in New York the same day Trump is set to be arraigned. We're going to talk to Frank Figluzzi about that and how Trump supporters have been reacting online. The possible threats ahead. The 11th hour just getting underway on an important Friday night.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The first ever indictment of a former president brings with it a lot of serious questions. Peter Baker of the New York Times writes this, quote, "The larger story is of a country heading down a road it has never traveled before, one fraught with profound consequences for the health of the world's oldest democracy." Joining me now, Democratic New York Congressman Richie Torres. Congressman, this has not ever happened in the U.S., but we've seen these types of things in other countries, in Italy, in Israel. Do you see this as a huge test for our democracy?
Well, the fundamental difference between a dictatorship and a democracy is that a democracy should be capable of holding its leadership accountable in a court of law. I mean, Donald Trump sees himself as a king who is above the law and who can do whatever he wishes with impunity. And he's finally facing accountability. We're sending a powerful message to the world that no one is above the law, not even a former president, that in the United States of America, there is no king or queen, or the only king or queen is the majesty of the law.
When you say we're sending a message, who is we?
The American legal system, American democracy. That's what's at stake. You know, the decision to indict Donald Trump was not made on the basis of politics. It was made on the basis of law by a grand jury of his peers. And as a criminal defendant, Donald Trump is entitled to due process. He's entitled to the presumption of innocence, and he should surrender himself to the Manhattan District Attorney and defend himself in a court of law rather than attempt to delegitimize the process. And I find it outrageous that House Republicans have been intent on intimidating Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan District Attorney, and interfering with an ongoing criminal prosecution. That, to me, is a violation of ethics. It's an abuse of power. You know, Republicans often decry the weaponization of government, and yet here you have Republicans weaponizing government against the Manhattan District Attorney.
Is that what concerns you the most as this process begins? Because it's not about political weaponization. This is about the American legal system, and that's getting lost.
I'm concerned about attempts by House Republicans to delegitimize the American legal system. We should all allow the legal process to unfold and let the facts speak for themselves. And I have full confidence in the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg. He is not a career politician. He's a professional prosecutor who's been in the New York Attorney General's office and the Southern District. And it's in his nature to go where the facts lie. And so we should allow the process to unfold rather than interfere.
Somebody who hasn't told a lot of things that happened during the Trump administration, and certainly on January 6th, is his former VP, Mike Pence. But he did speak today, and here's what he said.
The indictment of a former president of the United States on a campaign finance issue sends a terrible message to the wider world about American justice. Because I have to tell you, there are dictators and authoritarians around the world that will point to that to justify their own abuse of their own so-called justice system. So I'm very troubled by it, but I think the American people will see through it.
Do you see it as sending that message around the world, or is the message around the world, the law matters here and we hold everybody accountable?
Well, it seems like Mr. Pence is suffering from amnesia. I mean, I seem to remember that Donald Trump inspired a violent mob to invade the U.S. Capitol and threaten his vice president with execution, screaming, "Hang Mike Pence." And I'm not aware of any provision in federal law or in the United States Constitution that exempts the president from criminal prosecution, or that says it's okay for the president to conceal illegal campaign contributions. When Congress passes a law, that law applies to everyone, regardless of the position you hold in our society, and you have an obligation to follow that law. And when a state passes a law, you're required to follow it.
The Trump universe is sort of getting things wound up. Trump is getting his base riled up. I mentioned it a moment ago. Marjorie Taylor Greene is making her way up. People are saying the circus is coming to town. We don't actually know that. There's no evidence of it. The former president likes to create these, you know, these big events. But if you've been to any recent Trump rally, they're half empty. So he doesn't create these big spectacles. But as a New York guy, you think the city's ready for what we're getting next week?
Look, I have confidence in the ability of New York to manage the security situation, but it's unprecedented. I mean, never in American history has a former president been indicted. And we have a president who has a history of pouring gasoline on the fire. We saw him incite violence on January 6th in an attempt to prevent his removal from power. And he has been attempting to incite violence to prevent his criminal prosecution. He called upon his supporters to take our nation back. He warned of, quote, potential death and destruction. And now you have Marjorie Taylor Greene, who ironically serves on the Homeland Security Committee, promoting the same kind of chaos.
Well, we'll be here. We're waiting. Representative Richie Torres of New York, thanks for being here tonight. When we come back, as he faces indictment, the former president is turning to his friends on Capitol Hill for support. And some of them are still defending him. We're going to talk to Stuart Stevens and Max Rose about it all when the 11th hour continues.
They're trying to destroy Donald Trump because they fear him at the ballot box. To the conservatives out there, make sure you vote. If you got friends, make sure they vote. If you don't have any friends, go make some friends. But you need to help this man, Donald J. Trump. They're trying to drain him dry. He spent more money on lawyers than most people spend on campaigns. They're trying to bleed him dry. DonaldJTrump.com. Go tonight. Give the president some money to fight this.
Quick note, to the best of our knowledge, the RNC has been paying those legal bills thus far. But that right there was South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. He appeared to tear up in defense of Donald Trump following the indictment news. And while Graham might have been the most dramatic, plenty of other Republicans are lining up to defend the former president. Back with us for more, Stuart Stevens, a GOP veteran of the Mitt Romney and George W. Bush presidential campaigns. He is now with the Anti-Trump Lincoln Project, and former Democratic congressman from New York, Max Rose. Stephen, even Trump's likely rivals for the Republican nomination, that's what blows my mind. You would think they wanted to knock him out, but no. Some of them are the most vocal defending him. How can they all be so sure that this indictment isn't legitimate? No one has seen it.
Well, I mean, this indictment has a lot in common with the books that they're banning. Nobody's read it. There keeps being this process here where those of us who warn that the Republican Party has become an autocratic movement, we keep getting proven right. The only thing that separates autocracies from democracy is rule of law. So what you have here is a classic example of the legal system is operating. And Lindsey Graham and all these Republicans, they're not defending Donald Trump. They're attacking America. It's a continuation of this attack on the civil society that is the heart of Americans. They've attacked the Justice Department, the FBI. They attack cops who defended them on January 6th. And it just proves that there really is no line that Donald Trump or the Republican Party can cross that they won't wake up and say, well, wait a second, our first obligation is to the American public. We took an oath. And when I go out and I say these things, I am violating that oath. But sadly, for the most of these Republicans, that doesn't really matter.
Max, we are both New Yorkers, right? Mm-hmm. It is amazing to watch Lindsey Graham look in a camera and say the amount of money this man has spent on legal fees. And while we don't know if the RNC is currently paying his bills, they were in the past. Sure. And his brand is to not pay bills. His brand is the debt king. Now, of all the five boroughs, I would say your district in Staten Island probably has the most hardcore Trump MAGA types. Mm-hmm. How do you think they're responding to all this?
I think there's definitely a good number of people who look at this and think it's political and also have this underlying sentiment that if someone was the president or is a leading presidential candidate, they should be held to a different standard, to which I respond, I know you share this sentiment, it should be a higher
standard.
100%. It should be a higher standard. You know, everyone, these Republicans are looking at this case saying that's ridiculous, it's ridiculous, it's political. The facts of this case were already laid out in the Michael Cohen case, where Donald Trump was identified as a conspirator. The evidence was already there. And they say that it's political. Well, Alvin Bragg will have to try the case, or his deputies will be trying the case, and they would not bring the case if they don't think that they have something legitimate. That's how this works. So they're all getting involved. They're making fools of themselves in the process. Ron DeSantis stands up and says, well, we're not going to let him leave. We're not going to support this extradition. Everyone ignored him. He showed right then and there that he's likely not to be the nominee. He'll defend Trump, and then Trump will come out and make him look like a you-know-what. So it's all falling into Donald Trump's plan. All of it. Every single step of the way right now.
Hold on a minute. It's all falling into Donald Trump's plan. You think Donald Trump planned to fly on up to New York on Monday night and get fingerprinted on Tuesday?
I think that what Donald Trump is seeking out right now, he is looking at the polls as his people are, and he is establishing himself as the victim. And what's pitiful is that the rest of the Republican nominees, and this is how he, obviously he didn't plan to be indicted, but what he is doing right now is making sure that every single other Republican nominee stands up and supports him, despite the fact that then he'll turn around and reduce them into something pitiful at the, on the debate stage. So yes, that is undeniably his plan, and he will do that for the coming months as he dominates the news. You know, there are press clips. Every single politician gets press clips in the morning, and they want to be in those press clips. And the only way that these other Republican candidates can get in press clips right now is by talking about Donald Trump, supporting Donald Trump. And he is loving that. There's no doubt in my mind he's loving that.
He loves to be in the press, good, bad, or otherwise. There's a few big Republicans. They're not in these press clippings, though, Stuart. Mitch McConnell, John Thune, two top Senate Republicans. We're not hearing from them. Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, I think they're trying to hold on to some sort of shred of decency and trying to act like Americans first and not Republican politicians first. But look, you know, Mitch McConnell could have stopped this. Mitch McConnell could have voted to convict Donald Trump. He didn't. He gave a speech afterwards, one of the most bizarre moments in American political history, where he voted not to convict and then gave a speech showing why, saying why he should have convicted. At every turn that the Republican Party has to go down a different road than Donald Trump, to get back on track, they've gone further down the road. And that's what's happening now. I think the congressman's exactly right. Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee. And what Ron DeSantis should have done, he should, this is a moment where he could have been bigger. Instead, he became diminished again by Donald Trump. You know, George Wallace stood in the schoolhouse door, and DeSantis is going to stand in the Mar-a-Lago door to block Donald Trump. I mean, it just shows that what some of us have been saying, that the party really doesn't stand for any core values, and rule of law should be at the center of that.
But Stuart, didn't the primaries tell us, excuse me, didn't the midterms tell us that Americans aren't voting for crazy? They don't want extremes. They don't want fighting. They don't want the noise. So he becomes the nominee and goes where with it?
Well, I hope he loses. But right now, you know, polls, we haven't seen any big polls post-indictment, but polls have shown that Donald Trump was beating Biden. You know, most of these elections, they come down to a game of small numbers. And though, you know, Biden won an overwhelming popular vote and won the electoral college by over 300 votes, if, what, 45,000 people in exactly the right places had changed their votes, Donald Trump would still be president. So I think there's a real danger out there. And all of these Republicans, they continue to say that they will support Donald Trump if he's the nominee. So let's see if that changes now. I mean, if it wasn't enough that he inspired insurrection against the United States, blocked the peaceful transference of power, we didn't have it for the first time in our history. If that wasn't enough to get them to say that they're not going to support Donald Trump, I don't think that being indicted in New York is going to make them say that.
When Kevin McCarthy says he's going to hold Alvin Bragg responsible, he's going to hold him to account. Is he banking on the fact that the American people don't realize Congress has no power over Alvin Bragg?
He's banking on that. He's banking.
That's embarrassing.
It's beyond embarrassing. It's not patriotic. I mean, every single member of Congress swears an oath to protect and uphold the Constitution. They swear to protect and uphold a document, a set of values, a set of morals, and they don't swear to uphold and protect polls or their own political future. And that's exactly how Kevin McCarthy is acting right now. It's exactly how he has always acted. That's why he stood up and defended Donald Trump, even after Donald Trump incited a riot that threatened his life. And it's why they will continue to bend down to whatever Donald Trump wants. And that's why the rest of the American people have to stand up and stop this man from ever holding office ever again.
Congress has no oversight over the Manhattan DA. Kevin McCarthy is banking on the fact that you don't know that. Stuart Stevens, Max Rose, thank you both for being here. When we come back, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I said it before, already threatening to protest in New York around the former president's surrender. And who is she going to be joined by? Potential conspiracy theory pushers while extremism is surging. Frank Figluzzi is here on all of it.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
After Donald Trump's historic indictment, a well-known disinformation tracking group says there are no credible threats of violence or plans for large demonstrations as of now. But some on the far right, including Marjorie Taylor Greene, are encouraging protests. NBC News national security analyst Frank Figluzzi is with us. He is also the former assistant director for the FBI. Frank, you track this stuff. What do you think we're in for?
So here's my my caution to law enforcement and to everyone, really, that this is a security marathon, not a sprint. I say that because it's very, very early. And while all eyes are focused on New York City right now for Tuesday, let's understand something. We're in for a protracted trial in this Manhattan case. And then even later, we're in for possible charges in Fulton County, Georgia. And then perhaps even later, we're in for federal charges in two separate grand jury cases. So everyone needs to understand that, yes, we need to get through Tuesday and next week, of course, but we are in for the long haul. And when I say we as a nation, we as a law enforcement community, we're in for a stress test, a lot like bank regulators, do with banks to see if they can handle stressors and instability in the finance and economic world. We're doing that right now as NYPD, the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force, the DHS, all collecting intelligence. Good news, Stephanie, they've got a better handle after January 6th on the known violent extremist groups, Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, even 3%ers. What concerns me the most is people riling up loan offenders. Loan offenders only have to get it right once. The FBI needs to get it right every single day.
Those loan offenders are often wound up and worked into a frenzy online. And that starts with conspiracy theorists pushing lies that get bigger and bigger. Are you watching for that now? Because there's a lot of people using the internet to come up with all sorts of explanations that make no sense for what's going on, for an indictment that, again, is sealed.
Yeah, chief among the disinformation, the conspiracy theories is, of course, that a couple things. One, the federal government, the DOJ, somehow has ordered the Manhattan DA to do this. That simply is ignorance of how the system works. But no one lets facts get in the way of a perfectly good conspiracy theory. The other thing that's troubling is this attack on George Soros, that he's behind everything that's wrong with Trump world, and that somehow he donated money specifically to Alvin Bragg, and he's making this happen. When the facts are, what we know is that George Soros has never directly donated money to Alvin Bragg, but rather to a group called the Color of Change, which ended up giving some money to Alvin Bragg, but he's never even met or communicated with Alvin Bragg. So again, what's our job? I think keep putting the facts out there, counter the disinformation.
And that's why we bring you on, to tell our audience the truth. Facts is what you're going to get every night. Frank Figluzzi, thank you for closing out this very big and important week for us. And on that note, I wish everyone watching a good and safe night. From all of our colleagues across the networks of NBC News, thanks for staying up late. I will see you at the end of Monday. Rest up. It's going to be a big one next week.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.